For those that have never met me, I've always had a beard. And by always, I mean dating back to late junior high school. Seriously. I used to catch flack from my classmates, whereas many of them felt that an eighth grader sporting facial hair wasn't a very dignified thing. And if I'm being honest, it might have been a bit patchy at the time. That said, facial hair has been a part of me for almost longer than I can remember, and while I do some grooming and trimming, I've not often shaved it off. April of 1988 representing the last such time that happened. For most of my life, the color of that facial hair has been reddish, though in recent years a whole lot of white has started to supplant the red, pushing me in the direction of a Santa Claus type of thing, or so my daughters would have me believe. Because I've always had facial hair, I've always looked older than my age, and it's also made it easier to pull off the occasional joke that requires facial hair. For example, I have, on occasion, played the part of a werewolf for Halloween. In fact, one particular Halloween, while handing out candy at my mom's house so she could take my little brother trick-or-treating, I actually sent kids running and screaming from the house, such was the utter believability of my appearance. Those days are long since passed, though. With all my current white hair, who's going to fear a geriatric-looking werewolf? Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Halloween is right around the corner, next Tuesday to be exact. And while it's not so much an outdoor-centered activity, in the sense of many things I talk about on here, you could approach it from that angle because let's face it, for the most part, it happens outside. That's no big thing across most of the lower 48. Here in Alaska, it might mean a pretty heavy coat under or over the costume and snow boots on the feet. Also, a fair number of critters associated with the holiday are real-life animals and can be found on the refuge, things like wolves, bats, and spiders. For giggles and grins, let's consider Halloween today. Halloween has been around for a long time but has changed a whole heck of a lot over the course of those many years. What we do today isn't anything really like it started out. The day's origins date back to an ancient Celtic festival. The Celts, who lived 2,000 years ago in what we now think of as Ireland, England, and parts of France, celebrated their new year on November 1st. The day marked the beginning of winter for them, and they associated winter with death. Feel free to imagine any winter is coming jokes or imagery you might want. They also believed that on the night between the two, summer ending and winter coming, that the boundaries between the living and the dead became less defined and that ghosts could return to earth. This day marked the end of summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of year that was often associated with human death. Furthermore, they believed their priest, called druids, could foretell the future at this time. They celebrated with huge bonfires, animal sacrifices, PETA not yet up and running, and they wore costumes. Well, obviously that's not quite what we do today. And change continued to happen. When the Romans pushed their way into parts of northwestern Europe, they sought to change the beliefs of those they conquered, as they often did in other places as well. And they did what they often did, combine their own practices and observances with whatever was local in an effort to push out what was local. They did this with the Celts and their customs. The end of harvest, beginning of winter festival was eventually replaced with Roman-driven, church-based things instead. In 609 AD, Pope Boniface IV dedicated the Pantheon in Rome to honor all Christian martyrs and established the Catholic feast of All Martyrs' Day. Later, Pope Gregory III moved the observance from May 13th to November 1st. By the 800s, the influence of Christianity had spread into Celtic lands, where it gradually blended with and took the place of traditional Celtic rituals and holidays. In 1000 AD, the Church made November 2nd All Souls' Day. It was a day to honor the dead, and it's widely thought today that the Church was attempting an end around to replace the Celtic version with a related church-sanctioned holiday. All Souls' Day back then was celebrated in a way that was similar to what the Celts had been doing, with bonfires, parades, and costumes. The All Saints' Day celebration was also called All Hallowmas, which comes from a Middle English term at the time that meant All Saints' Day, and the night before took on the name of All Hallows' Eve. Fast forward a bit, and Halloween eventually took root in America, as far back as colonial times. With the multi-ethnic background that began to take shape during the early days of our country, a very American version of Halloween began to form. Early celebrations would include play parties, harvest celebrations, and public events that included dancing and singing. There was a tie to the dead, as ghost stories were told. Halloween continued to grow across the United States throughout the 1800s, and particularly over the second half of that century, as new immigrants helped to popularize its celebration. From the Irish and English in particular came the traditions of dressing up in costumes and going house to house to ask for food or money. There was also a move to make Halloween more of a community thing and lose some of its more serious, scary elements. Over the last century, Halloween continued to evolve in the direction it's gone, with the focus on things being more community-based, such as the trunk-or-treat celebration we have here in Dillingham tomorrow, and the emphasis being on fun. Costumes in parades and parties became the name of the game through the 1900s, and it continues to be something of that today, though like a lot of things, it's also become a lot more commercialized than anyone could have ever imagined. Want some numbers to support that? How about this? 1/4 of all the candy sold annually in the United States is purchased for Halloween, and Americans spend an estimated $6 billion each year on Halloween, making it the country's second largest commercial holiday after Christmas. So next Tuesday, we'll see this year's rendition of Halloween here around the Bristol Bay region. The only real question, as it seems like it's been for years, is whether it will snow or not. Right now, they're predicting no. Kids in costumes will be running down community roads looking for a big sugar score at the next house, just as they've been doing for years. Fun it will be for many. Scary? Probably not, though there are some things that can be scary. As I mentioned at the beginning, there are some Halloween-associated animals around our area, including bats, wolves, and spiders. None of the three seem very scary to me, but I say that never having been in real close proximity to a wolf having complete freedom of movement. Bats and spiders, while they cause a type of phobia in many folks, do nothing for me as far as fear goes. In fact, I largely see only the positives they bring to the table, such as eating stuff I don't care for. For some people, maybe bears or possibly mama moose with calves would make for more scary Halloween animals, and possibly with good reason, depending on the situation. On the cusp of another Halloween, if I wanted to conjure up scary images, it would be things that didn't come in a costume. For example, the idea of another non-winter scares me greatly. In saying this, I realize that we are predicted to get a pretty decent winter this year. A normal winter, I think I read. Also, last year was a pretty decent winter. However, the three non-winters in the years before last were very frightening, at least for those who like winter. Winter is coming has become something of a joke and can be seen in a lot of memes, thanks to the show Game of Thrones. The idea, when delivered in the context of the show, is meant to create a sense of dread about the coming of winter. For me, those words, winter is coming, turn me into an 8-year-old a week away from Christmas, as long as winter truly is coming. Alaska without winter? Now that's scary. Unfilled game tags can be a scary thing, in my opinion. Some of you are fortunate enough or good enough hunters that you probably would have to look up what those words mean when used in that particular combination. I've been blessed in that most years I am able to fill the tags I have, but not always, and some years it comes down to the very end. I've had a couple of moose that were last day or so harvest that came with a Hail Mary football sort of feel to them. As the days wind down and you begin to entertain the idea of not putting meat in the freezer, that can seem a whole lot scarier than anything you're likely to see on Halloween. Unexpected noises from assorted vehicles such as ATVs or snow machines, those can chill me to the bone in the blink of an eye, particularly if they happen far from home, which is something like 99% of the time. I can fix some stuff, but I'd stop short of suggesting I have any mechanical skill. Unexpected vehicular noises? Now that's some seriously scary stuff. And maybe that's what I should do this year. I should go trick-or-treating. I'll dress up like a snowgo with a sputtering engine. For some people that answer their doors, that just might cause a brief moment of fright. It's either that or reprise my role as a werewolf, and frankly, I really don't want to be hearing comments about Santa Claus covered in hair and howling at the moon. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.